Blog Talk Radio.
And then, you know, everybody say, what we say about Barack Obama? Well, he's just not black enough. Why? Because he's light-skinned and articulate? Because he paid back his student loans? Because he's married to his baby, his mama? No, his character's not black, but his lips is blacker than a motherfucker. Okay. Them some cool filter king lips if I ever seen cool filter king lips. And that's black enough for me.
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry has a little man. It's for the snow. And everywhere that Harry went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Oh, it was a wild and wacky weekend. Wasn't it, folks? I don't know how yours was. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's great. It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back this Monday, last day of the month, last day of April 2012. That's right. We won't lose another one. Tomorrow is May Day, according to the Occupy protest. We will get into that 2 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com. The number is 347-308-8711. Don't forget it. Mark it down on your phones. Put it in your smartphones, in your digital recorder, whatever it is that you do, put it in there. 347-308-8701. As I told people, please log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. There's some information there. Headline story. There is no giveaways on this. We are not going to have anybody intruding on my personal endeavors. We're going to keep this one. You know where to go. You know how to ask. We've been able to infiltrate all of that. You know, who knows what and when they know it. We don't care. You're probably wondering, what the hell is Reese talking about? Well, you can't know until you log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Okay? So when you're listening to this back, the next day, which a lot of people do. In fact, JC, let me tell you, you don't have to, don't come back. I'm telling you, if you go in there and check out our logs, for our listenership, because Blog Talk Radio keeps a record of that. People are logging on and listening to the show in droves. I'm very, very happy about the people who are checking them out, checking us out. I want to thank guys like Mike in Florida. I got to thank Derek the Bounty Hunter. I definitely got to thank Money Mink, because I know he's got his people on the check-in. Money Mink, we love you. He is the drop. We love you. Big time. I saw three of your videos over the weekend. Yes, I did. We checked. I promised you we would. I did check them out. There's one with a girl on a stripper pole with a thong. I won't get into it. But Money Mink, he is the drop. Check him out if you're interested in that. But a lot of things coming up. But like I said, wild and wacky weekend. It was a great weekend. Have to acknowledge a good friend of mine who gave me a shout out. I have to make sure I give him a shout out. Silky Slim, out in New Orleans. No, sorry, wrong. In Louisiana. Who's nice enough to send some people my way, as far as checking out my website and checking out Reese on the Radio. So people are extremely interested in the show. They are So all of those people who have been spreading the word around of Free Son of Radio, we appreciate it. We don't want to survive a show that we just listen to ourselves. So a huge part of our success, and I can't even say a huge part, our success is based on those who listen to us and those who are entertained by the show. So each and every one of you who do. I also have to remember Julie. I have to remember Gina. I got to remember Eric. You know, I got to remember all. Miss Buckley, got to remember them all. So all of the people who check us out, we just wanted to give our thanks. And I can't name you all, but, you know, the more you contact me, the more I'll be sure to let you know that you're, we appreciate it. So to get to the point of the weekend, JC, come on now. Did you check out the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Bits and pieces.
Okay, so you caught it online after the fact.
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't watch it live.
No.
I watched this thing 3 times. I listened to the audio 4 times. Okay. I wanted, because see, I've done the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I've seen this before, but you know, in other times in our history, it has never been such a contentious time at a reelection. Do you know? You know what I mean? It's like when Barack Obama became the president of the United States, he took some jabs at John McCain for losing the election, but it was subtlety. It wasn't out there to like ridicule him or make him a mockery. But because the coming elections are happening and there's been so much contention, there's been so much vitriol going back and forth, this particular honest dinner was, I mean, it was palpably vicious. Did you get that? Yeah, you didn't get that from, because I think you need to listen to the whole thing. Now, I'm going to do the audience a favor, because I cut it down to about 15 minutes worth, I thought, was interesting things said by Jimmy Kimmel, and you know I'm a Jimmy Kimmel fan. There were things that were said by Barack Obama that were corny. But then there was those things that he said that people kind of went, ugh. And I'm sure you know what they were. Which begs an interesting question. So this is what I'll do. Let's start it off by playing Obama's best jokes, and then it'll go right into the one that got biggest groan of the day. In fact, the groan was so obvious that in the view to be, there are certain people who would because you know, like they avoid the joke because. And that was the joke about Sarah Palin and the people. But let's play it. Here's Barack Obama, some of his better jokes, and into the Sarah Palin joke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday.
Our chaperone for the evening is Jimmy Kimmel. Who is perfect for the job since most of tonight's audience is in his key demographic. People who fall asleep during Nightline. Jimmy got his start years ago on The Man Show. In Washington, that's what we call a congressional hearing on contraception. Plenty of journalists are here tonight. I'd be remiss if I didn't congratulate the Huffington Post on their Pulitzer Prize. You deserve it, Ariana. There's no one else out there linking to the kinds of hard-hitting journalism that HuffPo is linking to every single day. Give them a round of applause. And you don't pay them. It's a great business model. Sarah Palin's getting back into the game. Guest hosting on the Today Show. Which reminds me of an old saying. What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? A pit bull is delicious.
Now you can see how awkward that was at the end, because people had like a nerve, like they had an uproarious laughter, and they thought about it. Sort of like the audience, and then figured out after maybe not a great show to laugh at. I'm going to get into the Huffington Post comment, because Ariana has already decided her backlash on Barack Obama.
Oh, that microphone, buddy, it's starting back up.
Oh, is it again?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. The Ariana comment he made about the Huffington Post, about the Pulitzer Prize, that for me was a nice stab to Ariana Huffington. And Ariana Huffington today went after Barack Obama on the CBS Morning News. We'll get into that. Now, this, for me, was also kind of awkward. Because it wasn't so much that, you know, whether or not it was funny, if it was. I'm taking this. I know tongue in cheek. But, you know, all truth is, you know, it's sort of in truth. Some of what it is that you say. Does it get any better?
No.
Oh, goodness gracious. Maybe I should. How's that? Better? Yes, no, maybe so?
Yeah, just a tad. Okay. I won't know until you talk some more, you know?
Okay. But this is Barack Obama talking about his agenda for a next term.
Let me just say something to all my conspiracy-oriented friends on the right who think I'm planning to unleash some secret agenda. You're absolutely right. So allow me to close with a quick preview of the secret agenda you can expect in a second Obama administration. In my first term, I sang Al Green. In my second term, I'm going with Young Jeezy. Michelle said, yeah. I sing that to her sometimes. In my first term, we ended the war in Iraq. In my second term, I will win the war on Christmas. In my first term, we repealed the policy known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. In my second term, we will replace it with a policy known as It's Raining Men. We passed health care reform. In my second term, I guess I'll pass it again.
So a lot of what he had to say, obviously. But why Young Jeezy?
And the girls was like, no, he didn't.
Yeah, why Young Jeezy? And then to out his wife, and said his wife said, yeah. Young Jeezy doesn't sing any positive song lyrics about women. I'm still stunned by that.
I don't understand why he would incorporate Young Jeezy. A blacker president? I mean, is he now coming back to what would be considered his soul brother roots? I mean, I'm all stunned and baffled. Appropriate for him to be promoting. But there was a criticism about Jimmy Kimmel. That Jimmy Kimmel was going to go president. That was because he said that the president was too cool. He wasn't like Clinton or George W. Bush, something that, you know, somebody you can really rag on. You know, Bill Clinton had the scandals, Michael Lewinsky, you know, the Jennifer Flowers, the Paula Jones. He had those scandals. You know, there were sex scandals. You can make fun of that. People believed that he was a dolt or an idiot. But President Obama, he's too cool. He doesn't have a lot of flaps. So people thought Jimmy Kimmel wouldn't go after him. And if he did, he would only go after him modestly. But that wasn't the case. Now, I'll play this and we'll come back, because it's relatively long, and I'll go into some of the things that Jimmy Kimmel got into. It's about 5 minutes long, but I won't play the whole 5 minutes. I've edited it down to 5 minutes, but I'm not going to play the whole 5 minutes. But I'll play into some of the jokes that he did say about Barack Obama and why I thought that, because I thought they were the better of the jokes. I'm glad he went after Barack Obama, and he razzed him, because you could see Barack Obama was a little uncomfortable about some of the jokes that were lobbed at him. So here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, Mr. President, salam. It is wonderful to be here. They told me this would be a very high-profile event with some of the most powerful people in the world. They did not tell me I'd be looking directly into Sofia Vergara's cleavage. I saw you texting. Sofia is from Colombia. This is what women look like in Colombia. What do you expect the Secret Service to do? Mr. President, I know you won't be able to laugh at any of my jokes about the Secret Service, so cover your ears if that's physically possible. I do have a lot of jokes about the Secret Service. You know, I told them for $800 I wouldn't tell them, but they only offered $30, so. I'll tell you what, though. I know the administration has been cracking down, but if this had happened on President Clinton's watch, you can damn well bet those Secret Service agents would have been disciplined with a very serious high five. Palms would be beet red. Quick announcement. If anyone has tickets to the GSA after party, the plane is leaving for the Four Seasons in Dubai at midnight on the dot. Don't be late or you'll miss out on your complimentary white tiger cub. Mr. President, you remember when the country rallied around you in hopes of a better tomorrow? That was hilarious. That was your best one yet. But honestly, it's a thrill for me to be here with the president, a man who has, I think, done his best to guide us through some very difficult times and paid a heavy price for it. You know, there's a term for guys like President Obama. Probably not two terms, but there is. Even some of your fellow Democrats think you're a pushover, Mr. President. They would like to see you stick to your guns. And if you don't have any guns, they would like to see you ask Eric Holder to get some for you. Jake Tapper wrote that. It's kind of hard to be funny with the President of the United States sitting right next to you, looking at you, and yet somehow, day in and day out, Joe Biden manages to do it. I wish he was here. I wish he was here so he could sit behind me and fake clap like he does during the State of the Union address. Are you enjoying this? Is this fun for you? This is the first meal he's had in months. They say diplomacy is a matter of carrots and sticks, and since Mrs. Obama got to the White House, so is dinner. You're very skinny. She doesn't let you eat. I felt weird about eating dessert. I left it untouched. I've never done that before. You know, the real reason people thought you were from Kenya had nothing to do with your birth certificate. It's because you lost so much weight, we thought you were the guy who won the Boston Marathon. This is how you know this country's in bad shape. Our president is starving. North Korea is sending him food aid. There are a lot of very big celebrities here with us tonight. Uggy is here. Uggy's the dog from the movie The Artist. Uggy is amazing. He can roll over on command. He's a Democrat. Uggy, I have some advice. If Mitt Romney ever invites you to go for a ride, call shotgun. And if the president tries to butter you, run. Last week we learned that the president's two favorite steaks are ribeye and seeing eye. You know you don't have to reveal everything in an autobiography, right? I mean, you can leave some things out. When you go to a dog park, is it the same as when we look at a tank full of lobsters? The president was very candid in an interview with The Atlantic a couple of weeks ago when he called Kanye West a jackass. Which, no offense, sir, but I think you got the wrong West. I think you meant Alan. Do all Wests look the same to you? George Clooney is here tonight. Tomorrow he's set to appear before Alan West in the House Un-American Activities Committee. George is hosting a fundraiser event for the Obama campaign. For $3, you can enter a raffle, and the winner gets to have dinner with the president at George Clooney's house. And I for one, have always dreamed of eating a Hot Pocket with the president and Batman. And now I can do it for only $3. And if you don't win the raffle, remember, you can still win dinner with George himself if you are a 6'1" blonde with a perfect body.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Clark.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 27 minutes after the hour. Monday, April the 30th, last day of the month, 2012. A lot of people didn't see the White House Correspondents' Dinner. A lot of people just checked it out online. I had some company here watching it, and, you know, unfortunately, they are huge Barack Obama fans. Everything he said, and every time they were around a Republican, you know, they were in dog, whatever, heaven, what do they call it? I don't know the term, but they were loving it. And you know, I know other people from their Poland. I don't have a lot of conservative friends. So this is an extremely conservative place. They don't like anything I hate, anything I believe. They don't like nothing. So it's difficult when you have to sit there and watch this and you're trying to get a perspective and people are hooting and hollering and loving everything the president says because they, you know, to them, they believe, you know, he's not joking. He's really telling the truth. Yeah, he got one. What a zinger. And that's just kind of annoying. If they took it in stride, they wouldn't be able to get any of the jokes. They wouldn't be able to get any of the jokes that I would tell. Most of them didn't even believe that Barack Obama ate a dog. He had to actually tell them that he did. He was like, oh, really? He ate dog? Yes, he did. He ate dog. So, you know, that was pretty much the sum up of my night. But I did, eh? I was only brought it up, but they did. Just amazing. So, Barack about Arianna Huffington. And the bottom line sort of works like this. Arianna Huffington's Huffington Post, the Huffington Post, which is their online site, they a Pulitzer Prize. And it had been reported often, I believe, in some way they had been sued because they weren't giving credit to people who had actually written articles that appeared in the Huffington Post. So in essence, they were flat out plagiarizing people's articles. And there's this big to-do about that, and for them to win this Pulitzer Prize, pretty much, well, let's not lie. People in the Pulitzer Prize are generally left-leaning. And Arianna Huffington is a left-leaning sycophant. She is a left-leaning sycophant. And so for President Obama, who she's done anything and everything to protect, because that's what she does. She protects liberals, she protects Democrats, she hates Republicans, and she rips on them. So last night, taking a dig at Huffington Post, which has just been purchased by America Online, AOL, and has been suffering some financial or some fiscal problems, to go after the Huffington Post in the way that he did by saying, you know, nobody liked the Huffington Post, nobody's linking to the hard-hitting news the way the Huffington Post is linking to our news. So, Arianna Huffington, in my view, struck back. This was her on the CBS Morning News today speaking to Charlie Rose and Gayle King about a recent campaign, which we talked about last week, suggesting that Mitt Romney would not have called for the attacks or the killing of Osama bin Laden. Arianna Huffington was asked about that political ad. And don't just listen to what she said. You really have to pay attention to what the commentators, how they respond. Their sort of reflection. Because see, when people do that, they're going, they know who Arianna Huffington is. They know she's going to be on their show pulling for their guy. So for Arianna Huffington to break ranks is a shock to them. Arianna Huffington is supposed to be there to toe the line. Hey, if Barack Obama is right in making the charge that based upon some out-of-context comments he made, he wouldn't pull the trigger on Osama bin Laden. What do you think, Arianna?
Can I turn this to serious for a moment? There's much now about this commercial that President Clinton has done for the Obama campaign and the Romney reaction saying that they should not be using this the way they are. What's your take?
I agree completely. I agree with the Romney campaign. That using the Osama bin Laden...
you hear what Charlie Rose says? Charlie Rose goes, Arianna Huffington is breaking ranks.
Can I turn this to serious for a moment? There's much now about this commercial that President Clinton has done for the Obama campaign and the Romney reaction saying that they should not be using this the way they are. What's your take?
I agree completely. I agree with the Romney campaign. That using the Osama bin Laden assassination, killing, the great news that we had a year ago, in order to say basically that Obama did it and Romney might not have done it, which is the message.
You think the president is capitalizing on that?
Well, I don't think there should be an ad about that. Uh-huh. I think it's one thing to celebrate the fact that they did such a great job. It's one thing to have an NBC special from the Situation Room, which we are going to have this week.
Brian Williams is doing the whole thing, which interviews everybody on the anniversary.
In the Situation Room, which is unprecedented. All that to me is perfectly legitimate. But to turn it into a campaign ad is one of the most despicable things you can do. It's the same thing that Hillary Clinton did with the 3 a.m. call. You know, you are not ready to be commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also what makes politicians and political leaders act irrationally when it comes to matters of war, because they're so afraid to be called wimps
mm-hmm.
that they make decisions which are incredibly destructive for the country. I'm sure the president would not have escalated in Afghanistan if he was not as concerned as Democrats are that Republicans are going to use not escalating against them in a campaign.
But in a campaign, aren't you supposed to tout your accomplishments of what you've done?
But this is not just what this ad does.
Mm-hmm.
What the ad does is questions. If we're talking about the same ad.
We are. There's only one ad out there now when President Clinton talks about the moment of decision, quoting a former President Bush.
And then quotes a snippet from Romney in 07.
Right.
And uses that to imply that Romney would not have been as decisive. There is no way to know whether Romney would have been as decisive. And to actually speculate that he wouldn't be is, to me, not the way to run campaigns on either side.
She said it's one of the most despicable things someone could have done. She called Barack Obama campaign undespicable.
And I half heartedly agree with her.
Oh. You agree with
her? I agree with her. I do agree, and I said it before. But I do kind of stand by what I've said on Friday as well, and that is that, I mean, this guy's had no opportunity to lash back at his whomever his opponent's going to be come election time. And every candidate in the Republican Party have lashed out at him instead of at each other trying to win a nomination. I mean, how long can you honestly sit and take that? Or do you just have to take it because you are the sitting president?
Yeah. You know, I understand he's the sitting president and, you know, he's the one who makes the final call. That's bottom line. He's the sitting president. He does have to make the final call. But, you know, as I said last week, one, it was dumb throwing in Clinton, the guy who wouldn't pull the trigger in the ad, that's one. And
that I don't agree with. And my other reason for not agreeing with it is, I mean, I clearly remember Clinton, and I'm surprised that nobody really makes too much noise about it. It's like, I mean, we've raked the Clintons over the coals for who they are in the past. But, I mean, clearly when the wife, what's her name?
Hillary
and Barack was in a dead heat, and they were in probably one of the ugliest campaign battles.
Yeah, it was
in recent history. Clinton clearly said, "It'll be a cold day in hell," and it'll be a cold day in hell. And over his dead body, would he ever support Barack if Barack beat Hillary, which he did?
Oh yeah. He wanted to do it, which of course he has to do it now. Forget about it.
Yeah, but he said it a little nasty, and it felt nasty when he said it.
Yeah, come on. When it caught his microphone on, he was
right,
getting
he had
off
a hot
of a
mic.
Radio interview. He had a hot mic issue. Make people call you racist, and that's BS. And he got caught cursing off the air, off the mic before you hung up the phone, and everybody got a wind of it. Hot mic situations going on in that campaign. The bottom line, and then the other part about it is one, the Barack Obama campaign was completely out of sorts when Hillary Clinton ran that 3 a.m. campaign. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. Kids are sleeping. You saw kids in bed, and they were talking about, and the phone is ringing, and you know, the world is on alert. Who do you want to be at the other end of that phone? And people were saying, whoa, what are you trying to say about Barack Obama? Is he He didn't be able to handle the 3 a.m. call. People were really, really going after Hillary Clinton for that ad because they thought it was nasty. It was not verbally, but how dare she that he wasn't to deal with a United States crisis. And here, Barack Obama was doing the exact same thing, raped Hillary campaign over the poll. So, I mean, I think Arianna Huffington is doing this for reasons. Well, I don't think it has anything to do with her. I don't give her any merit points to what she said. She's viciously Barack Obama making that comment that Huffington was linking to hard-hitting news and not paying people for it. She saw him as it taking a swipe at her, and she took a swipe at him.
Yeah.
I mean, that really was 4730-8701. We got Eric the Bounty Hunter on the line. Hey, D.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
How's your weekend, bud?
Yeah, all right, bro. Pretty good, pretty good.
So, did you watch the president's White House correspondence dinner?
Yeah. It was pretty funny, man. Pretty funny.
What did you think about? Now, listen, explain to me this, and I wanted to bring this up before. The guy says, what's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? A pit bull is delicious. What does that mean about the hockey mom?
I want to shoot that microphone.
Look, man, all that made the hockey mom. Look, man, look. Look, all I called for it was, you know, a pit bull makes a good meal. Well, shit, maybe it does. We sit over here and, you know, we knock eating dogs. But, you know, man, in a lot of countries, you know, especially China, you know, I don't understand why we have a problem with China, you know, why we have a problem with Cuba when we do so much business with China. But, you know, hey, over there, you know, they have, you know, 1.3 billion people. So, you know, dogs is on the menu. You know, I mean, there's a possibility that dog does taste good, but you know how I love my dog Belle, so you know I'll never know.
I mean, it's like how some countries look at us when we eat cow.
Yeah, look at India. They're like, Lord, these people eat cows. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So everybody's okay with eating dog?
Well, in France, they eat frogs legs. Do we have a frog? Well, I forgot y'all with the Freedom Fries thing. That's right.
That wasn't us. <Yeah. laughs> By the way, no one likes French food. I just want to say that is that now the president eats dog. And what are we going to
speak for yourself?
Because the president eats dog, people aren't going to be complaining about Chinese restaurants having it back.
At least he didn't torture dogs by, you know, strapping them to a cage on top of the truck going, you know, 65 miles an hour. You know
sometimes 70.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of winter.
He tortured
them. Yeah, in the middle of winter, yeah. Ooh, Lord.
Okay, so the survives, Mitt Romney's case, it was torture. It was hell instead of the actual hell that Obama had to go through.
I mean, come on, Romney's dog at the end of that trip would have been like a TV dinner to Barack.
Wait, hold on a second. Romney's dog ran away, never to be seen again. He didn't want to be around those. You know what I'm saying? He knew this deal about that Mormon religion.
Oh, what color was the dog? What color was his fur?
I don't know. I know like color thing, but you know, I know right about him. Dog, the dog might have had the mark of Cain too. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
It might have been a brown, nice brown colored dog.
No. Hold on. This will actually clear things up, Derek.
Yeah.
It looks Seamus, which was wrong dog. Seamus, lady.
Wait, hold on a second. You broke up. Say that again?
Real bad.
Seamus is the same breed as dog Lady.
Yeah, you see the way we treated Lady. Okay, we treated Lady like a lady, dude. All right? She died on her bed. Okay, my dog had her own bed. All right? Come on now. We never strapped this in on roof at 55 miles an hour. You kidding
Sometimes
me?
Sometimes 70.
Yes, exactly. We treated Lady like a lady. Matter of fact, you helped bury that dog, didn't you? All right, come on now.
Now and this dog that he drove on top of the car, wasn't it from Massachusetts?
He drove from Massachusetts, from Boston, in fact. He drove it from Boston.
And now you live there. You know how Boston people from Massachusetts drive?
And dude, I mean bitter cold, dude. Bitter cold.
It's really
bitter
bad.
Cold.
But
all right.
I'm sure it wasn't.
But, you know, but like I said, they probably looked at that dog, and the dog had the mark of Cain, too, you know? So,
you wouldn't believe that. So what do you think overall? Did you think Jimmy Kimmel did well? Do you think he was Spy. What did you think of Jimmy Kimmel's
Spy? Well, I don't believe it or not, he did well, you know, because, you know, let's face it, let's face it, we all grew up with that type of Italian guy, you know, so if he could change, we can all change. We all can change.
Well, I like the idea that he pissed a little bit of everybody off because what's his name was really pissed. Barbara Walters.
Oh, look. Didn't I see a picture of him in the choir where hitting a bong or something like that recently?
What was the lowest joke of the entire night? Like, what do you think is the joke that really sucked?
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry, man. You're breaking up, brother. Say it again.
What joke did you think really sucked the most?
Oh, you know what? Believe it or not, the joke I liked the most with Barack and everything was the Secret Service jokes. You ever notice they weren't laughing about nothing, you know? they were just taking up stabs, and they deserved it, man. You know, let's face it, man. You know, they've been doing that thing everywhere they go. My thing is this. Do your thing after, man. Them broads ain't going nowhere. They couldn't wait till after the president left, you know?
President left,
man. Let's go ahead and party, you know?
But which joke do you think was the worst joke? The worst.
You know, I'll tell you. I would have liked to have seen the crowd.
The president's ears.
Which one?
The one when he made a joke about the president's ears, you know?
Like?
You know?
No. I would have liked to have seen the faces. Yeah. Of the audience and the people there when Barack made a joke about don't ask, don't tell.
No, not that joke either. I thought that was
the... Listen, the jeers that came, I mean, the claws that came out in that audience.
I didn't like that joke either. I thought the worst joke in the honestly, was...
Could you imagine how many hands went on their hips?
And they,
how many heads were rocking?
I don't like when they were making jokes about Kim Kardashian, man. You know, like, come on, man. Dude, man. You know what I'm saying?
Are you kidding? You have to make jokes about her and Lindsay Lohan.
What are you talking about, man? Come on, man. You know, she down with the brothers, man. Come on, now. I can't have that, man. Let's face it. The chick don't got no talent. Why is she there? Because she's pretty and she fine as hell, dog. You know what I'm saying? And she's down with the brother.
The lamest joke I thought there was, it said the Navy SEAL Team 6 was outside the Kardashian town.
Yeah. I was like, get out there, just like a Denver Nuggets. Shut the hell up, man.
That wasn't funny.
That was corny. That was corny, man. You know, like this same dude wouldn't love to be opening them drawers at night. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Chick just bad, man. Chick bad. You know, I sit there and I look at that, man. I mean, regardless of whatever you say about it, you know, Kim Kardashian was at the White House. Where was Reggie Bush, B? Where was Reggie Bush? He wasn't invited. That chick larger than that dude now. You know what I'm saying? he's busy worrying about what everybody thinking, and you got a chick that can pay her own way. You know what I'm saying? You got a chick that you don't got to support. Man, come on, man. How you can't keep that one on the team? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You don't need that welfare hose, man. Shoot.
I don't. Well, okay. What do you guys think about the Kardashian Kanye relationship? You think it's worth even mentioning?
It's a train wreck that I can't wait to happen.
I mean, dude, but she could pay her own way, man.
Listen,
man. You know, any other chick Kanye got, he got to support that boy. You don't got to support her, man. She got her own dough. Chick got two TV shows, man.
Three, in fact.
Exactly. Come on.
Listen, when that one goes down, Kanye, as reckless as he is with his mouth, when that one's said and done.
Yeah. Dude. Huh? Dude, y'all, if I do it, if I was a celebrity, I'd be mad. I got to keep that one around, bro. I got to keep that one around, man.
I don't think I could. I don't know.
She could pay her own way. She could buy me things. Oh, I got to support her own. So that when it's time for the breakup, man, she gets to stick in my pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan's wife, like Princess Diana. You know what I'm saying? Dude, man, this shit got her own dough. Hell, I might have to stick her for some of her dough, man.
Yeah. All right, Derek. Let's take a break and get back. We'll talk about John Lovitz and Sam. People are going against it.
Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb dogs,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's to update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio. We're back. Finish to the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk about John Lovitz. And apparently, he went ape on a Twitter account Saturday, finally responding to the comments that he made back in January. In case of those people who don't know the story, John Lovitz opened up his new comedy. Kevin Smith, the director of Clerks, Dogma, Mallrats, was interviewing him, and he starts talking about President Obama, and he makes those comments about President Obama, calling him an effing a-hole, and he hadn't responded to it. Everybody else has been all over the place going nuts, and so now he's finally been responding. I'm going to read to you what the tweets say when we come back. But before that, let me read you what the headline reads on Drudge Report. In fact, we will get into this. Well, Drudge Report, according to the DailyMail.com, Navy SEALs slamming Obama for making it political. As I told you, nobody in that, what they do has nothing to do with who the president is, who is running for re-election, who's in office. It's about the city, and their deeds do not want to be marginal. Now, this is coming directly from the deals. So we'll debate whether or not the Navy SEALs ever run for president. Hey, my man, knock it off.
Yeah, that microphone.
Tell me what it is that I can. I'm going to reboot this stupid, like, I don't know what the hell the deal is. How about, any better?
I won't know until you start talking.
Okay, I'm still talking now. How about that?
No better.
And I know it's not a connection problem because my connection is perfect.
I'm not sure what.
It will take a break. We're going to the top of the hour anyway. So, when we come back, we'll talk about that top of the hour. We'll talk about that around the NAC. Check out the radio. You'll turn. Jordan.
Folks, I think you said we're going to the top of the hour. We're going to talk about when we get back, and we'll talk to you when we get right back. So stay tuned, Reese on the radio.
Still can't hear me.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little man who was quite a soul, and everywhere that Mary went, the
man
was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour, it is Reese on the radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 1 minute after the hour on this Monday, April the 3rd, 2012. And I thank all the people who have been checking us out, the numbers of those checking out the show, some people who can't listen to it, get a tally of those shows when they're watched the next day, or we get the media. We listen to them. Appreciate all of the people who are on the show and who have been still.
Those numbers are phenomenal.
Aren't they phenomenal? They're really, really good.
Wow, I was surprised. I don't like to check them often, so I like to be surprised. But this time I was pretty blown away.
Yeah, it was, it's great. For me, again, it's a testament. We've been doing this now for a little over 4 months. And we're about to get into our fifth month, and it's great because it hasn't even been a half a year yet, and it clearly shows that what we're doing is really resonating. And well, like I said, I want to thank all the people who have been showing us the love that they've been showing us, so I really appreciate it. Okay, so let's get into John Lovitz. John Lovitz, who many people may remember, was the guy who used to do the... That's the ticket guy. He the habitual liar.
Right, the liar guy.
Yes, he used to do all of the lying. So he does this thing at his comedy club called the ABCs of SNL. And on this episode, he's talking to Kevin Smith, director of Jay and Silent Bob movies, Clerks, Mallrats, and this is pretty much what he said.
This whole thing with Obama saying the rich don't pay their taxes is fucking bullshit. And I voted for the guy and I'm a Democrat. What a fucking asshole. The rich don't pay their taxes. Let me tell you something, right? First they say to you, you're dead broke. The United States of America, you can do anything you want. Go for it. So then you go for it and then you make it and everyone's like, fuck you. You just said go for it. He himself is the perfect example. He's amazing. He had nothing. He had no father. He was, mixed race, which is a burden in the United. Don't kid yourself, growing up like that. And no money. And the guy ends up being at Harvard. He's the president of the United States.
And you're like, fuck
and
you.
He's like, and now he's like, fuck me. And everyone who made it like me, it's like, you have to work your ass off,
Yeah.
If I make a dollar, and out of every dollar, I'm taxed at half of 50 cents I have to give. Isn't that, like, enough?
Yes.
So for every dollar you make, $2, you have to give a dollar back. That's not right. No, you're not paying enough. It's half.
Yeah, I feel you. I pay
half.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, the rich people have all these deductions. Well, everyone in this room has the same deductions. You just didn't learn about it.
But you have the exact same deduct. You can deduct. You can, did you drive a car? You take it to work? Deduct it.
Hey, hey.
Do you eat at lunch? Deduct it.
Stop yelling at the 99%.
It's my club.
Yeah, but don't burn it down, man. Occupy, love it.
Oh, yeah, and then, yeah, yeah. And then, so I take my hard-earned money and I open a club. Now all of you are here. Help me. Hello? It's ridiculous.
So he got a lot of heat for that, and it's gone all over the place, you know, as far as the heat was concerned. You know, would he respond? How would he respond? Well, apparently now he's responded. This is according to WorldNetDaily.com, which posted the story. It says Saturday Night Live comedian and comedic legend John Lovitz is doubling down on his harsh criticisms of Barack Obama, Barack Obama's alleged wealth confiscation and redistribution policies, claiming the president is lying to Americans. This is where the president is lying to get votes. It's obvious and transparent, a self-proclaimed Democrat who voted for Obama in 2008 said on his Twitter account Saturday night. Lovitz was responding to criticism, where he apparently called the thing a-hole. Lovitz seemed a bit surprised. His comments became widely reported, tweeting, "Because I criticize the president, it's news. Last I checked, the president, he's a president, not a king. This is America, freedom of speech. What's the BFD, BFN deal?" One apparent liberal named Peg said to Lovitz, "This is red meat for conservatives who are trying to prove the whole country hates him. You gave them ammo. They're using it." He responded to her by saying, "Excuse me, the president is lying. I just pointed it out. It's not my fault that he's lying." He added, "I haven't gotten any backlash as a Democrat and liberal. Liberal from the word liberty. Freedom to be who you are. Be conservative, Democrat, Republican, libertarian, liberal. Freedom to be true to yourself." That's what liberal means. Another critic told Lovitz, you criticize the wrong president. If you'd blasted Bush, you'd be funny, smart, and possibly a hero." He tweeted back, "I have blasted Bush in my stand-up act. No one commented on it, though. The reason why, because it was a social norm to bash Bush. He wasn't doing anything out of the context of liberal media. For a liberal to go after Barack Obama is news because you're not in lockstep with everyone else, John Lovitz. It's that simple."
An earth to Peg. The conservatives don't need John Lovitz's input to know that Barack Obama should not be in office.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello?
And that's the whole thing. She's saying that, look, you know, it's almost like she's telling John Lovitz, shh, if you don't like him and you're a liberal, they're going to know that we don't like him either. Don't let him on to that. It's like, it's no secret, goofball. You're not going to vote for this guy again. And again, she's totally missing the point.
Well, she's probably a liberal.
She's voting for him no matter what he does. She doesn't care about whether or not the policies work. She only cares about ideology. And she's one of those people who are going to believe what she believes.
And if they understood ideology, they wouldn't be voting for him either.
Well, they're talking about agenda. They only care about the agenda of Barack Obama. It's for them, it's to
keep. But they don't really know what the agenda. Okay, this is the thing.
Nor do they care.
They don't even know what the agenda is.
I don't think that's the case of her, because you hear what she's saying here. She's
no,
saying
no, I'm not saying just her. I'm saying all these liberals that are, you know, watch the news every day, and the only thing they do is watch. They don't manage to find out if any of these things are true, what the entire story is, rather than an excerpt. So that's how liberals are.
Okay. Oh, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So what agenda? They're not following his agenda. The agenda he has is totally different than what is being portrayed to his people.
Right. Let's get some comments from Derek. John Lovitz, is he a turncoat for saying what he believes the president is doing is a lie, even though he voted for him?
Look, you know
no.
what? Look, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but let me ask you guys a question, man. You really think we need to turn everything back to George Bush's policies, right?
Actually, that's not the alternative, Derek. Derek, first
those,
of all, that's
those,
a false narrative.
No, seriously.
This guy was in office for eight years.
I mean, everything just worked out so good, right?
Derek, it's a false narrative. No one is suggesting things turn back to the days of the Bush administration. The Bush administration is over. There can never be another Bush administration.
That was terrible, dude.
Well, again, it terrible. Doesn't matter whether or not your opinions of it are, Derek. You're telling me that in order if Barack Obama is voted out of office, the only alternative is the Bush era.
That's
what I'm saying. The Bush era is over.
All right. So let me ask you this, right? I see you guys are sitting over here telling me I'm supposed to feel sorry for rich people. Oh, your taxes are so high. You're gonna struggle to pay for your 560 bands.
Derek, nobody's suggesting that.
I didn't say that.
Nobody's suggesting
that. Did you hear me say that? I didn't say that.
No one's asking you to feel sorry for anyone. You to do or not.
Listen. The country's in the toilet behind the policies that the Bush administration created, okay? Everybody has to dig a little deeper,
Derek,
to get us out, okay? Because the Bush administration got us into these wars and decided to pay for them with tax cuts,
Derek,
which I never heard of anything before in my life.
Derek,
you know what I'm saying? Somebody has to pay now, okay? That's how it is.
Derek,
has to pay.
Can you answer a question for me?
Mm-hmm.
When did the Bush tax cuts go into effect?
Dude, ever since the Bush tax cuts went into effect, everything has gone into the toilet, man. What has gotten better since the Bush tax cuts came into effect?
What year was it?
Mm-hmm.
That's irrelevant to the conversation. What year did the Bush tax cuts go into effect?
When did they go into effect? In
2003.
Yeah, and like I said, has things gotten better? You should
tell
me. Has things, yeah.
I'll tell you.
Did they ever get better?
2003, Derek.
They got better for rich people, man.
Derek,
no, Derek.
Wait a minute, Derek.
No, Derek.
Derek, in 2000, yeah. Okay, if the tax, listen, hold on. I was going to say, please, you know, come on, let's all talk. So in 2003, if Bush's tax cuts went into play, you know, I can remember being very comfortable for quite a few years during the time that, now, I'm not a Bush fan. I never was. And I would not vote for him. I did not vote for him. However, I can remember that during Bush's presidency, I mean, by no means am I rich or making big money, but at that point in time, I was doing good. Let me tell you something, man.
Before Bush's tax cuts, when Clinton was in office, man, I was making some serious bread, okay? My money went down every year Bush was in office, man. How do you go from a surplus, right? To one of the greatest damn, you know what I'm saying, recessions damn ever, dude. Dude, we were in a surplus, man, before the Republicans took office, and I would never vote to put those people back in office after what they did. The surplus was done a year after they got in office, man. A year later.
Derek, I got to stop you. Hold on. You got to let me speak for a second. Listen, first of all, you're talking about a budget, a deficit. The deficit still exists. You're talking about a budget surplus. There are two different things. That's one. Second, When the 2003 Bush tax cuts went into effect, in 2004, unemployment was at near minimal. It was at 4.9%. Derek, that's near zero. That's, you know, 4.9% means, that means almost full unemployment, 4.9% the next year.
What was it at the end of the Bush presidency, dude?
Now you're talking. I'm glad you asked.
Not yet, exactly.
Can I finish? Derek, when did
Let him answer you, Derek.
When did Nancy Pelosi Democrat
in Nancy Pelosi, man. Dude, man, Bush was in charge and things went into the toilet. That's how it is.
Can I finish,
Derek,
please?
First of all, the president doesn't even really run anything
it's an executive power.
He's so what are y'all getting
in
Obama's ass for?
Let me explain it to you. Explain it to you or not, be talking to you. The bottom line is simple. The people who handle the purse strings of the United States government are who? The Senate and
the
Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Right? The Senate and the Congress, right? In 2006, the Senate and the Congress were in charge. The Democrats were in charge. In 2006, they took over. Is that a fact or not?
Dude, how did they take over? Why? How did they get to take over?
They got voted in.
Because
they got
things were turning, bro. It was not good.
Because the war did not look good for anyone.
We went after these. I'm still trying to find these. You know these weapons that Saddam had. I'm still looking for them. You remember when your boy, who's the general? Brought out the maps. He brought out the maps showing all the mobile lab. I'm still waiting.
Wait. Okay, Derek, the weapons of mass destruction. First of all, Bush was not the president that said weapons of mass destruction. Clinton was. Second of all, they did find the main ingredient to make the weapons of mass destruction go off. The core of it, the yellow cake uranium. So if you're going to say that, research it first.
That's what I'm saying. The number is 347-308-8701. Mike from Florida, you are Maurice on the radio.
Holy crap, you got my number memorized, huh? Well, look, I'm going to kind of surprise you here. I'm going to agree with Derek a little bit.
Are you?
Jesus.
Oh, man, now I got to bring Derek on because he's going to love that.
Well, basically... Hey. I have a different viewpoint on both the wars. Okay, I don't think that we went to war with Iraq or Afghanistan for the reasons that we claim we did. And if we went to war in Afghanistan just to get bin Laden or the Taliban, we could have done it a whole lot more efficiently than following the same pattern that the British and the Russians both got their butts kicked with.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows you don't fight a massive land war in Afghanistan. You fight that with spec ops. I think we're in Iraq basically to get oil, and it didn't work out at all because those people are, you know, the only reason Iraq was a semi-functioning country is because Saddam basically killed crazy people, okay? If you stepped out of line in Iraq, Saddam put you through a kipper.
Let me jump on the oil thing. let me jump on the oil thing. See, a lot of people, and you said that it didn't work out that way. But think about Iraq on this level. In 2001, before we went to war with Iraq, the United States was receiving 690 barrels a day of oil from Iraq. Mm-hmm. By 2010, the United States was receiving 439 barrels a day. So we had occupied the country and got less oil. So all that rigmarole about going into Iraq from war is completely depleted by the numbers that we actually go there for war. Second, Saddam Hussein We didn't go there for oil. That's a farce. The bottom line is also the saying that the whole idea that Saddam Hussein did or didn't have weapons of mass destruction. One, blaming that on Bush, that's a farce. Mostly because in February of 1998, Bill Clinton and Al Gore were meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff in February, and both claimed that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction before Bush was ever in office, and Bush doesn't take office until 3 years later. That's
well,
one. That, okay, now,
yeah, but...
to blame Bush and say that he was the one who started the rhetoric of weapons of mass destruction is disingenuous.
Why did we go to Iraq for? What did we go there for? For justice? Give me bread, dude.
300,000 Kurds killed in one sitting? Come on, Derek.
What's been going on in like Central African Republic, man? And come on, man. Come on, look at all the killings that go on in Sudan and all these places, man. And nobody does nothing. They don't have no oil, bro. That's why they didn't go there.
Wait, Derek. Saddam Hussein was also a threat to our only ally in the region. That is Iran. That is Israel. Yeah, that's our only ally in the region.
Oh, man, dude,
and let's not.
On,
and hold on. And in 91, we went in to protect Kuwait. So this idea that people went in.
Dude.
What? Kuwait doesn't deserve.
Yeah,
Israel.
I mean.
Come on.
No,
Israel had no trouble dealing with Iraq in the past here.
But
the country's
as big
as New Jersey.
So what? It's still our ally. And if somebody is. Are you telling me that.
New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Reese. We all know the Israelis have a huge nuclear weapons program. So this Iraq is a threat, or Iran is a threat to Israel. Dude, they have like 300 nuclear weapons that they've illegally produced at Dimona since the 60s. Israel doesn't have to worry about anybody.
Well, really?
We sold them the tech, but they've been producing the weapons in direct violation of the NPT.
Every time I see, you know, when they show Israel going to war with somebody, I swear to God, it looks just like America. All them damn F-16s going off in the air. Man.
Oh yeah, I mean,
they are, come on, man.
Israel's no joke, but they're not. I don't really consider a nation that runs an espionage program against us to be an ally. Okay. You know who's an ally? Canada's an ally. Israel's not an ally. Israel's a, I don't want to say the word parasite because that has bad connotations, but they're very much out for themselves at the expense of everything else.
Yes, espionage, yeah. No, there's no connotations there, Mike.
Well, they do spy against us. I mean, what about Jonathan Pollard? You know, Jonathan Pollard's in prison, and the Israeli government consistently lobbies our government to get him out when he should have been friggin' executed.
Well, okay, well, I'm still trying to figure out how in any way that suggests that Israel is not our ally. You think that Hamas in the Gaza Strip is our ally?
No, they're not our ally either. But, you know, if you're gonna spy on us and steal our military tech, and let's not forget, you remember when our plane was forced down on Hainan Island by the Chinese, our spy plane? Do you know what they found on that spy plane, or on the Chinese planes that were there? Israeli missiles. The Israelis sell military tech that we give them to the Chinese. So, you know, they're not a blanket ally at all. You know, they may be the least crazy in the region, but come on, man. They're not Britain.
Well, I wouldn't consider – well, come on. Britain gave up, if I remember correctly. Wasn't it Britain that was giving up intel this past year to Russia? And wasn't
you're
it
really
the United
–
oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't it England that was giving up intel on Israel to Russia just a few months ago that it was just revealed? And wasn't it the United States that was also giving intel about Israel to Russia?
Well, I don't remember that. Actually, I'll take your word for it. But
that's a confirmed fact.
I just have an issue with the fact that, you know, I mean, if you read what bin Laden said about why 9/11 was committed, in the man's own words, he said that 9/11 was committed because we had troops in the Holy Land and because we continue to support the Israelis. And I just wonder if the Jews is worth the squeeze.
I've got to work till 6.
Well, I honestly believe that they are, but that's just my personal view and a bit of my, you know, my religious leanings. But because my children are Jewish and because of my affiliation with Judaism, I believe in protecting Israel.
Well, hey, I believe in turning them loose, but, you know, they have to face the consequences of their actions. You know,
Any country should. Any country should. If there's any dealings that are disingenuous in any way, if there's anything that they're doing that's ill-spirited, yes, I believe that. Look, you reap what you sow. That's the bottom line. I don't think they should be protected.
Whatever.
They are an apartheid state too, Reese. I mean, as a as a man of color, you should kind of have an issue with
what? Are you saying what? Because of Hamas? Because of Palestinians?
No, I'm saying because the average Palestinian lives in a prison. You know, they're discriminated against. They're harassed by Israel. They've got walls up around their city.
I don't agree with
that. Not good.
I don't agree with that. But I look at it this way. If Palestinians are Muslim, is that fair to say? They are Muslim?
Not all. There are Christian Palestinians, too.
I'm sure
they
are.
They
wish to form a Muslim nation. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. So if you think about their surrounding areas, Libya, Egypt, Morocco, Turkey, Iran, of course Iraq, all of those regions surrounding them, why would all of those areas that are predominantly Muslim, predominantly Islamist for some degree, why would they continue to keep that group in the poverty that they're in? Now, they claim that they're bringing in flotillas and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if they really, really want those people to prosper, every one of those nations surrounding Israel can take care of where, and again, but they insist on not only leaving them in poverty, but here's the crux of that, keeping them in poverty to keep them enraged and completely telling them that look who your enemy is. They don't call out, Palestinians do not call out to those surrounding regions and say, you guys need to help us and make sure that we feed our children. No. They keep filling them up and funneling in propaganda for them to attack Israel instead of helping them. It's very, very similar to what it is that the black leadership in this country, the Al Sharptons and the Reverend Jesse Jacksons and the NAACP do to African Americans in this country. They'll collect money all day from all these big corporations. They won't spread the wealth as they wish for every other rich person to do into the black community. They keep them poor and keep filtering in that garbage into them and tell them to go after the man. So I find that very similar to what it is that's being done on Palestine.
You know what? You know, hold on one second, man. You know what? I think everybody's being hypocritical, okay? Because if everybody's over here talking about truth and justice and, you know, how the people in Kuwait are treated and blah, 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 why do y'all all buy all your stuff from China, dude?
Hey,
explain that.
Listen to me. Look.
Tell me how these people are unexploited. Exploited. Do you know that company, Apple, right? They make all this stuff in this company town, right?
Right.
You have like 400,000 people working this company. You have 400,000 people working this like factory, right? And do you know that the factory outside the windows they have nets? Because
yes.
People go up, people jump outside, people
yes.
try to come
We're
to suicide
well aware of it.
Constantly,
yeah.
dude. This is China, and y'all want to sit over here and say, oh, we had to go in there to save Kuwait. Oh, we had to go into Iraq to save 300,000 people. I don't see nobody going to China, dude. I don't see nobody stopping buying China stuff. You know what I'm saying? So all this crap y'all talking about, man, dude, that's
what
nonsense,
say,
bro.
Eric, I don't understand. Are you saying that we should stop buying China's goods, or we should start putting tariffs on? I couldn't agree more. And the Foxconn story we've covered here extensively. We know that they pay their people $17 a day. We know that they house over 200,000 people in their complex. Pardon me, they house 60,000 people at the Foxconn complex, that they feed them rice and pork every day, and they're surviving. They have the ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on one second. Hold on. I admit right now, I am eating ribs and some rice and beans.
You know? Well, yeah,
and on top of that, there are people that these people are living like that in Foxconn, but when it comes time to hire, there's hundreds of people in droves
waiting to get hired.
Yeah, but China is just a temporary step. China is the country that gets built up now, but eventually they're going to reach middle class status and they won't want to do those jobs anymore.
Yeah,
so
you know,
the corporations are going to move.
No, I think
the corporations are going to move somewhere else.
I think you're
at one time.
I think you're
at one time. Yeah, at one time Japan was where you got cheap labor, and it was Korea.
That's
now
right.
Now it's China, and it's going to be Mexico next. And how much stuff have you seen? Pardon, have you seen made in Mexico? They've been moving automotive factories down to Mexico.
That's right.
Go buy a Volkswagen, dude. They're made in Mexico.
Look,
they're made in Mexico.
It's going to have to move. But everyone's been arguing about
it's not going to be Mexico, though, I'll tell y'all that much. Let me tell y'all something. Where do y'all think the NFL is going to expand next? To London, Canada, or Mexico?
Canada.
I would say
London.
Canada.
You're lying. It's going to be Mexico City, dog. I'm telling you. Mexico City is going to get the next NFL team.
No.
You heard it. You heard it on the radio.
You're ridiculous, Derek. On the radio. Derek, they're telling Americans not to go to Mexico right now.
Dude,
and Mexico City is like one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
It is. Mexico City is extremely
dangerous.
I still trust
them to
repair my car.
Whenever they put on an exhibition game, they get 110,000 people in the stadium, dude.
Well, that's because they have stadiums that fill 100,000 people.
Hey, Derek, are you gonna go to Mexico City to watch a football game and worry about getting kidnapped and owed for rent?
It's an hour and a half flight out of America.
You could build
the neighborhood for the players, and you could damn get them security and everything on the cheap, dog.
You gotta get security for all those fans.
The next place that's gonna get an NFL team is Mexico City. And you heard it first, on Reese, on the radio.
Dude, I think they're going to put one in.
And ain't nobody watching it, Mexico City.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? What other country puts out more Hispanic football players?
Why not just put one in L.A. if you want Mexicans to watch the game?
Don't tell me because that's for
Florida.
Hold on. Go ahead. Mike, last word before we take a break.
You could go anyway.
If you're going to expand somewhere and you want Mexicans to watch the game, just put a team in L.A.
Yes, there you go.
Let's
go to Haiti.
You can put a team in almost any city at this point, any major city. New York is that
the
way.
The Beirut Bombers?
That way. The whole block here.
We'll take a break.
Taking over.
We'll take a break when we get back. We'll talk about the Navy SEALs. Right back again, Obama, and using Osama bin Laden's death as a political football. When we return, it's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
a lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Teresa on the Radio, and we're back 37 minutes after the hour on Monday, April the 30th, 2012. It's the last day of April. Now, they tell me tomorrow, May Day, is going to be mayhem. Yeah.
Who said that?
Oh, you didn't hear about this.
No.
Okay. So, just to break it down.
Great. Tomorrow
is supposed to be May Day. The Occupy movement, in association with a bunch of other groups, are demanding, or not essentially demanding, they're asking that everyone take off of work and school and have a civil protest. And they're supposed to be all over the place. Washington, New York, Los Angeles, and they're going to be walking the streets. In fact, business leadership has decided that they're going to walk out. So now everyone is—they're encouraging.
So if I call out tomorrow and get fired, are they going to compensate me?
No, of course not.
If I call out and march with them,
no. But you don't. What do you want to march with them for?
No, I wouldn't. But
okay.
I'm just saying.
But if there will probably be a lot of mayhem. Now, I don't know how bad it's going to get or whether or not it's going to get bad at all. But the point is that they're going to be out there rallying.
I hope that that means that there's not going to be much traffic on the way to work. Call out of work, people. Call out. Protest. Get there early or go after 9 a.m.
Well, you know, these guys, they go in.
And go home early.
Okay, so I mentioned before, President Obama is getting a little bit of flack for an ad that he did about Osama bin Laden. As many know, Wednesday is the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. And he put out an ad referencing that, but referencing that GOP candidate Mitt Romney would not have done the same thing if he were the president of the United States.
Well, I don't know if he was referencing that he would not, but he was asking what would he do?
Yeah, would he have done the same thing?
Would he have done the same
thing? In other words, questioning whether he would have done it.
Definitely.
You can hear it in the ad. Well, here's the ad.
That's one thing George Bush said that was right. The president is the decider in chief. Nobody can make that decision for you. Look, he knew what would happen. Suppose the Navy SEALs had gone in there and it hadn't been bin Laden. Suppose they'd been captured or killed. The downside would have been horrible for him. But he reasoned. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. He took the harder and the more honorable path, and the one that produced, in my opinion, the best result.
It's not worth moving heaven and earth, spending billions of dollars just trying to catch one person. He was referring to the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. What did he mean by that? Because it's generated a little controversy, given Osama bin Laden's role in killing, 3,000 Americans on 9/11.
He had to decide. And that's what you hire a president to do. You hire the president to make the calls when no one else can do it.
It's extremely ironic. It's funny you say that. It's extremely ironic that the guy who didn't decide is now talking about how Obama decided. But if you listen to Wolf Blitzer in the ad, Wolf Blitzer talks about that. It's like it's not worth it or spending millions of dollars to go after a man. He says, what does he mean by that? But if you further listen to or read the context of what he says, what did he mean by that? He says that Al-Qaeda is a broader threat than just one man. It's a form of symbolism. That's who Osama bin Laden is. He's hiding away in a bunker. You know what I mean? He's on the he's broader than a figure.
Of course.
Is what Mitt Romney's saying. So in his words, it's completely taken out of context. And Wolf Blitzer says he got a little controversy to that. Up like Wolf Blitzer, considered to be legitimate journalists. So, obviously, and you knew it would happen, the Navy SEALs have now come out to rip President Obama. And this is according to the Daily Mail. Listen to the point to our, who the individual is that they're interviewing here. A gentleman by the name of Ryan Zinke, who's a former of the U.S. Navy who spent 23 years as a Navy SEAL and led a SEAL Team 6 assault, said that the decision was a no-brainer. I applaud him for making it, but I would not overlook myself on the back for making the right call. I think every president on the day is justified for saying that it was his decision, but the preparation, sacrifice, was a broader team effort. Mr. Zinke, who is now Republican state senator in Montana, added that Mr. Obama was exploiting bin Laden's death for his reelection bid. The president and his administration are positioning him as a war president using the SEALs' ammunition. It was predictable.
That's his quote, not mine. Mr. Obama has faced criticism even from allies about his decision to make a campaign about the Bin Laden. Ariana Huffington, as I played earlier in this, I will play that again because it's important to at least play it again so you can hear it. It's her own words.
Can I turn this to serious for a moment? There's much now about this commercial that President Clinton has done for the Obama campaign and the Romney reaction saying that they should not be using this the way they are. What's your take?
I agree completely. I agree with the Romney campaign. That using the Osama bin Laden assassination, killing, the great news that we had a year ago, in order to say basically that Obama did it and Romney might not have done it, which is the message.
You think the president is capitalizing on that?
Well, I don't think there should be an ad about that. Uh-huh. I think it's one thing to celebrate the fact that they did such a great job. It's one thing to have an NBC special from the Situation Room, which we are going to have this week.
Brian Williams is doing the whole thing, which interviews everybody on the anniversary.
In the Situation Room, which is unprecedented. All that to me is perfectly legitimate. But to turn it into a campaign ad is one of the most despicable things you can do. It's the same thing that Hillary Clinton did with the 3 a.m. call. You know, you are not ready to be commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also...
So she pretty much says, you know, that's her quote that is completely despicable. And, unfortunately, for Arianna Huffington and for me to agree with her, she's right. And it's, look, Obama was asked, no, sorry, Mitt Romney was asked while he was on a campaign trail out in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He even says, even Jimmy Carter would have given that. And the reason why he says that is because, look, even people said that Jimmy Carter was a weak president on foreign affairs. He wouldn't strike back considering the Iran, the Iranian hostage situation, you know, and things of that nature. So
then what is it that we say about Clinton when he's the one that had the first call and didn't make it, but yet now you're doing a campaign for this dude?
Well, I
saying
would...
that's, you know, that's your job. That's what the people hire you for. That's what your job. Well, you didn't do your job when it was presented to you.
Right. In 1996, it was clearly his call and he didn't make it, which could have taken,
you know, could have 9/11, 2001 never had to happen.
There's no clear evidence of that. Not that it would happen because, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who takes full responsibility for that, you don't know whether or not that would have been the case. But capturing bin Laden may have indeed caught
Well, as much of a big deal as they're making him, like it's this one person controlling all these hundreds of thousands of people.
Sure.
This statue. So then, yeah, if you would have killed him then.
Right.
You
never know what
would
have happened.
You know.
So Clinton is the wrong person to have on this ad. Let's go to the phones. Derek, go ahead. You know, Derek, you remember the 1990s, and Clinton is one of your favorite presidents. You know he didn't pull the trigger.
He's a Mac Daddy, man.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
He's a Mac Daddy.
You know he didn't pull the trigger.
That's why you like Barack, too, because he's a little Mac Daddy.
Hold on. You guys are talking about exploiting a war situation for a political gain. What about that damn ride onto the aircraft carrier? Mission accomplished. Remember that crap? What did your boy George Bush say? He was Top Gun? Give me a break, okay? Come on, man.
Okay, well, you know what? Derek, I will concede that was an ill-fated idea. Even George W. Bush says that it was spiking the football, and he admitted that he was wrong, and he has, Derek.
Yeah.
So my question is, should Barack Obama, should he be kicking the political football in the killing of Osama bin Laden?
And do two wrongs make a right?
Yeah. Hey, dude, like I said, man, you know, hey, people who are close to me knew people that died in the towers, okay? I was so happy when bin Laden got killed. Y'all don't understand. You know,
yeah, but
that,
you know
day,
what?
That 63... day, dude, that day that 9/11 went down, man, I mean, I had so much pain in my heart, man.
Yeah, right.
I'm
63% of
Derek,
Americans...
we all had pain in our heart that day. I'm sorry. I'm
63% of Americans give credit to Navy SEALs. 45% of them give it to the U.S. military. And a paltry 30%, if not 35%, give credit to the President of the United States. I mean,
look,
for the thousand...
You know, hey, he was the president at the time when the job got done, so he gets the feather in his cap, okay? And, you know, I used to, I told you the other day it was a six foot feather. No, it's a 7.5 foot feather.
Well,
you know
even
what I'm
if
saying?
That's,
a big
even
broad rim pimp hat, baby.
Derek,
you know?
Just hold on. Even if that's the case, should the president be using it as a political ball? Should he be using it for a reason?
Well, I'm just using it as an example that things are getting done, okay?
Things
no matter
are getting
what
done. Oh, God. Derek, give me a break. What else has gotten done? Did you hear the man say that your president that's getting things done has gotten us into such a financial mess that he's got us worse than all the presidents combined?
Dude, hey, like I said, I'm still
8 years to break it. He'll need 8 years to fix it.
I'm still looking for the weapons of mass destruction.
That's right.
You're still looking for the weapons of mass destruction, Derek.
Because I'm had nothing to
no,
do.
No, no,
with
no, 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 no. You're setting yourself up. I want to go there.
Financial
I will say. Are you setting yourself up there, buddy? Trust me.
Derek.
You're setting yourself up there. I wouldn't say that.
Listen, in the 235-year history of these United States, before Barack Obama was president of the United States, the national debt was at $10 trillion. That is up to the Bush administration. Barack Obama has now brought it up to close to $16 trillion. That means that he was able to amass half the national debt that 43 presidents together, cumulatively, have done in 231 years.
Yeah.
Dude, Bush has screwed things up so much, man. He had to keep the money moving, bro. He had to keep the money.
No.
Let me tell you something, okay? You guys, you know, I sit over here and I listen to these Republicans talk about they want all these budget cuts. And they, hold on a second. They want all these teachers, their firefighters, and all these people to, you know, get rid of policemen and all these people. You know, the last time I checked, it wasn't the police or the teachers or the firemen that got us into this debt problem. It's this goddamn war that the Republicans got us into and going after Saddam Hussein, who had nothing to do with 9/11, that got us into this problem.
And then paying for
the war with tax cuts.
Pause, Derek. I got to put him on hold. Derek, listen very closely, okay? Barack Obama managed to spend $804 billion in 1 month. In February, he signed a bill for $804 billion in February. That was a stimulus package. Both wars under George W. Bush, one starting in December of 2001, one starting in March of 2003, okay? Both wars, up until the end of his presidency, cost $784 billion. Two wars. And Barack Obama spent more than that on a stimulus package in the first month he became president of the United States.
Dude, things got that bad. It got that bad.
It really got that bad, bro.
Derek, your president, when he
He's
ran.
Your president,
well,
too.
Yeah, he is my president. And you know what? I voted for him, but he ain't getting my vote again. I was
getting mine, and I'm standing in line 2 hours for it, baby. You know?
I tried when I voted for him the first time because it was such a touching moment.
So you're going to hold your nose and vote for Romney? You kidding me? Reese, you know what? I know you didn't even like that dude in the beginning.
You know, every time I sit there, I think about Romney, and I sit there and think about that Mormon religion that sit there and tell me that I have the mark of Cain when black people weren't even in, you know, the Middle East at the time. That's a problem. That's regardless of the fact. But if I joined their religion and became the best Mormon that I can be when I die and go to heaven, I could be Benson, dude. No, that's not the future for me, man. Wow, you are ridiculous, Derek.
I want you to look up a woman by the name of Mia Love. Her name is Mia. She's from Saratoga Springs. Saratoga Springs? Yeah, I want you to look her up. Mia Love. She is a African American Republican.
Mia Love.
That's right, Mia Long. I'm thinking of the actress.
Yeah, I know you are.
Mia Love, African American Republican Mormon, running for Congress out in Colorado. I think it's in Utah. Look her up.
Well, she's confused.
No, she's JC.
We all know that Auntie Mama got a perm, dog.
Excuse me. I happen to remember Aunt Jemima and know her personally. No, I'm dead serious.
You guys are listening.
She was my babysitter, and she was my early childhood learning center teacher.
Hey,
yeah, no, she's talking lovely now. You know what I mean?
Hey, Derek, let me ask you this. How do you feel about the unprecedented campaigns by Barack Obama to have African Americans and Latinos for Barack Obama? Do you think Mitt Romney would get away with having a quote-unquote African Americans for Mitt Romney or Latinos for Mitt Romney campaign?
Malcolm, like I said, we got the mark of Cain, dude. African Americans and Latinos for the mark of Cain, dude. Come on, man. Come on, man. Do you ever look at that religion, man? Those people want those people in their Bible, even though they changed their thing in 1978. Yeah, like I said, you go there and think, dude, we're supposed to be I cannot feel that, man. We have overcome, homie. You ever heard of Martin Luther King? No, dog, we ain't going back.
Martin Luther King said we should judge one another by the character. By our character, not by the color of our skin.
Well, then you tell that to his religious doctrine.
Look at his religious doctrine, bro. Look at it.
Wait. Harry Reid, who told President Obama to run for president in 2007, gave him his blessing. Oh, went out of the crowd.
Excuse me. Y'all sit over here and act like the Ku Klux Klan don't read the King James Bible either, homie.
Whoa. First of all, the Ku Klux Klan is a Democratic Party of terrorists.
Oh, come on. Now you going with that crap again? You really think that the Ku Klux Klan are a bunch of Democrats? Are you that serious?
Well, they did fight for slavery.
Open your eyes, brother. They're Republicans. They did fight for slavery. Have you ever heard of David Duke?
Derek.
Oh, God,
Derek. You're taking one. How about Robert Byrd, the dean of the Senate, who just died three years ago?
Oh, man, come on. How old is that dude? Like, man, 2,000 years old? Man, come on, man. He knew Jesus when he was wearing short pants,
But Robert Byrd was a Democrat, man. He was a senior senator of West Virginia. Like I said,
you really, in your heart, believe that the Ku Klux Klan are Democrats?
No, belief
really
is for
really
Derek.
Believe that, man.
Derek, let me
you
tell
really
you
believe
something.
That?
Derek, let me finish.
Derek, that's history, Derek.
Let me finish. Belief is for people who lack knowledge. I don't believe anything. I know it or I don't. And I know that the terrorist arm of the Democratic Party in the 1700s.
Dude, let's get out of the 60s. Let's come to 2012, dude.
There are no Republican plans. All of that changed
with Lyndon Johnson, and you know that.
Yeah, Lyndon Johnson, the one who said you better pass that nigger bill.
Like I said, all that changed with Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson was
that,
a what?
Bro.
Lyndon Johnson was a what?
Yeah, I know he was, but things have changed, man. Dude, you're Ku Klux Klan
right?
Republicans, dude. They're not Democrats anymore. Don't even believe that. I don't know. I want you. You know what? Research that on your show, bro. I want you to show me the Ku Klux Klan that are Democrats, man. The Duke, show me the Ku Klux Klan for Obama, and I might believe you.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll have it for you.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
I want the Ku Klux Klan for Obama. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Tomorrow on the show, investigate the Ku Klux Klan. It's time to go. It's the end of the show. Thank you, Dirk, as usual, for calling in. God.
Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition.
I know. You know, I listened to this guy, and he's like the second coming of the Kool-Aid man. I don't need both of them on the show at the same time, because they'll kill me. They'll destroy my old day. I couldn't deal with it. What's that?
I don't know.
So, yeah, we do. Well, go ahead. Say goodbye. We're saying goodnight.
Good
night, people.
It's time for us to go. We will be back tomorrow.
Mañana.
Same time, same bat channel. Thank you, Mike in Florida, as usual, and everyone else. We will see you tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio.